because that song just means so much to me. Because that's what I'm here doing, is giving myself to our Lord. And just be obedient to His word. And just coming here tonight, shut my phone off, and received a text that my furniture should be here Friday.
So,
just pulling back just a little bit and letting the Lord take and make it happen for me.
Amen.
I just had to laugh because you just got started playing, and I'm like, thank you, Jesus. So I just wanted to thank Him one more time for being in the house and believing this word and knowing that whatever the devil tries to tell, He's a liar. Because I'm here for a reason. And whatever He tries to put out there in front of me, I have His answer. You're a liar. And so thank you for letting me sing with you.
Yes, Lord.
Let's sing page 215. Why shouldn't I praise the Lord? In the choruses. It's key of F. 215.
Why shouldn't I pray?
Thank you.
more time.
So why shouldn't I praise the Lord? He's been so good to me. The living word made me flesh again, and revealed to me. Oh, I was blind.
One get up for a few services now, and I didn't quite get here, but now I am. And I wasn't going to get up, but her testimony moved me, because that's been my situation too. You know, the devil tells me all sorts of stuff, but I can see it now. And you know what I've learned from being up under this word is all I got to do is wait a little bit, and God's truth will manifest itself. I don't even have to respond to him. I can be like, okay, whatever you say, and just keep walking, or just be still, and God will show me that the opposite is really true. I just have to be patient and not get in that car, not go down that roller coaster thing. And I am so blessed to be here once again among you believers, and you guys have no idea of hearing your testimonies, how much it helps me to come here and listen to how you've overcome. Because, see, when I go through stuff, like when I came through stuff before I walked through these doors, right, the world was on me. But when I came through these doors, I came through here knowing that I had to have a push to get here so that I could hear how you guys overcame. Amen. So that I know that I, too, it's just a season. Whatever I think I might be going through, it is just a season. And no matter how bad I fall short, once again, that's just a season, because God will fix everything that needs to be fixed. To manifest his will. All I have to do is just die to myself, submit, and get to the house. I can't wait to hear my marching orders. I am blessed to be here. Thank you all for all that you've done.
You know, I was thinking about some things here, just last few seconds. And, you know, I was thinking about how that, you know, it's best to look what God has done.
Yeah.
Instead of what the devil's done.
Yeah.
Because the devil's temporary.
Oh, yeah.
He comes and goes. He's like the weather. You know, it's like worrying about every storm that comes by. It'll come, it'll pass. You know, there was a brother. I was thinking my thoughts, you know, I'd mention his name, but I said, no, oh, yeah, I mentioned his name. But anyway, he said at one time, this was years and years and years and years and years and years ago, he said, he's so revelated that he can look and he said, there's the devil, and there's the devil, and there's the devil. And even then, I wasn't so revelated, according to him and a few others, but I thought, what are you looking for the devil for?
Yeah.
You should be saying, there's God. There's God. There's God.
Right.
You know? I mean, there's a big difference there.
Yeah.
You're going to give glory to the devil, you're going to give glory to God.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have, like I said, I don't even hardly want to mention his name. If I ever write it, I always write it with a little D.
Yeah.
A little S.
Yeah.
You know?
Don't give him any.
If I could do worse, I would. Yeah. But, you know, the devil ain't got a hold on us at all. I was thinking about, you know, down through the ages. You think about, you know, like Abraham or Noah, way back there. You know, they did what God revealed to them to do. They weren't worried about Jew or Gentile. There wasn't a Jew or Gentile back then. You know, it's just God revealed to them their day and his message. And that was the greatest thing. It was the only thing. You know, they didn't have anything to build any tradition on. It wasn't a church to you know, pull tradition out of, or a worldly church to pull tradition out of. You know, they just obeyed God as God revealed himself to them.
Right.
And even down through the ages, they may not see what we see all the way down, but, you know, the biggest thing we see is our day and his message.
Right.
That's right.
The greatest thing is not to look back and see what Luther, Wesley, all this did, because it really doesn't affect us.
Right.
You know? I mean, the body was sanctified, justified.
Right. Yeah.
You know, baptism of the Holy Ghost through there. We see that. We see the type, see how it works, see how it applied to the whole body. But in this day, the thing I know is that the bride,
right,
no matter what I do, the bride is going to get the dead up.
Right.
The bride will recognize who she is.
She made herself.
The bride will be the Son of Man.
Yeah.
Realize they're the Word made flesh. God, actual God, literally God in flesh.
Right.
As the brother said, 100% God and 100% man.
Yeah.
But, you know, I just always wanted to concentrate and emphasize on what God has revealed.
Focus on the right thing.
And let the devil do what he wants. You know, it's just like out here today. We could point out all the garbage in politics.
Yeah.
We could point out all the garbage and all these really atheists, you know.
Yeah.
And I don't know what to call the other ones that go the other direction, but just as bad.
Yeah.
They're in the other ditch, you know. But they will do what they will do.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like out here picketing for abortion.
Right.
The devil's going to do what he's going to do.
Yeah.
We're not for abortion at all.
No.
But the devil's going to do what he's going to do. That's like out here trying to keep everybody from drinking or keep everybody from using drugs or trying to make it. The devil is going to do what he's going to do.
Yeah.
He always has, always will.
Right.
But thing is, God's revealed to me my day and his message.
That's right.
This understanding is everything to me.
Right.
And this is what pulls me along.
Right.
You know, the Bible says you're overcome by the word.
Of your testimony.
Of my testimony. And that's my testimony.
Yeah. Amen.
Not that I've had a good day or bad day or I've overcome the devil here. Or, you know, God's revealed to me my day and his message.
Right.
That's my overcoming. The devil can't touch that.
Right.
You know, we can believe for healing like we've covered the past few weeks here. And, you know, unless God reveals it to you and gives you a word on that,
right.
You know, it's just a mental faith.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all you can muster up of your own. Just
right.
A mental faith.
Right.
You can speak it, you can confess it, and that's doing what the Bible says you to do.
Right.
But you can't heal nobody.
No.
And you can't be healed by yourself.
No.
It takes God.
Right.
So you do your part.
Yeah.
You follow the prescription.
Right.
Even you know, as many have been baptized, you know, repented,
right.
So to speak. And been baptized, so to speak,
right.
And has not received the
right.
Gift of the Holy Ghost.
Right.
You know, so it's God.
Amen.
You know, that part, that's God.
That's Him.
And revealing this message of this day, revealing this understanding, revealing our day in this message, we're going to get the dead up, that we know who we are.
Right.
That we, you know, He abides in me.
Amen.
Not just with me.
Yeah.
You know, and to say that, you got to move a whole lot of tradition.
Yeah.
To say it right.
Right.
You can say it and be polyparrot all you want, but to have a real understanding,
Revelation.
You got to move a whole, you got to sort through a whole lot of tradition. You got to drop a lot.
Amen.
But I'm thankful I can say that.
Yeah.
I'm thankful that this revelation, this message, this understanding, and that's part of my day and my message. My day and my message comes forth from this pulpit every time I come.
Amen.
That's why I don't miss, but, you know, two or three services a year, if that, you know.
Right.
I mean, I missed three, only because we started back Sunday night. But the thing is, I know where I get my help.
Right.
I know where God speaks to me from. I know where the thing that matters to me the most comes from. And I really appreciate that understanding. I really appreciate this place.
Yes.
And have for a long, long time.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah. I want to start by saying I'm grateful to be here again. You know, I was thinking, I was sitting there, I think she was testifying, and it hit me. You know, Satan, it's his job to whisper. But he has nothing. He has no stinger.
Man.
He has nothing because
you got a leg stand on.
As soon as he starts talking, you're like, okay, so Satan's talking to me. That means I'm doing something right. You know what I mean? Satan doesn't talk to the world. He's not dealing with them. He's messing with me. So if he's saying something to me, I'm like, okay, I'm doing something right.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, it's so funny because that's his job and he talks to us. And we were sitting here on Sunday and I was thinking, oh no, I don't worry enough. You know, like, oh, you know, maybe I'm doing something wrong. And then you talk about the permissive will versus the perfect will. And I was like, okay, got it again. You know, it only took a second. It doesn't take long, you know. And you just smooth through. And I was also, Sunday made me realize, you know, I thank God that I'm surrounded by believers. You know, I go home. I'm married to a very strong believer.
Right.
You know, I know he doesn't like me talking about him much, but I love that man. But, you know, I get to ask him questions. And he has an answer, you know. And it's so nice to be able to talk to people about God.
Right.
You know, I hang out with my girlfriends. We talk about God. You know what I mean? That's the basis of my life.
Amen.
No matter what I do, what flaws I have, what, you know, I allow myself to do or whatever, everywhere I go, I know exactly who I am.
Right.
Amen.
I have that balance. You know, I meet people all the time. We were in Kings Island the other day, and some guy let me cut in line because I had my kids with me. And it was just everywhere I go, you know, God's using me because I am God.
True.
You know, and Satan has nothing. It's a, like you said, a little s, you know? And it's, what can rock me? What can move me? You know, I'm just strong.
Amen.
Literally nothing. And, you know, I thank God for that. And I want to give him praise because, you know, it's all because of the word I get here. You know, I come here. I've been here my entire life. You know, I have a firm foundation, and I thank God for that. You know, and I always want to take the time. You know, sometimes you have things in your mind. You don't say them all. God knows what needs to be said and what needs to not be said, you know.
True.
And I just, I don't know, I want to walk around. You know, sometimes I get excited and I hold myself there.
Right.
You know, because you get nervous.
Yeah.
But you know, God's been so good
walk
to me.
Amen.
I just want to walk around.
Yeah.
You know, I like walking, I like running, and I can run for Jesus.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, if I'm going to run for anybody, who am I going to run for?
Right.
You
right.
know, so just play a song. I want to walk around.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Go right ahead.
God.
Yes, Lord, yes.
Amen.
Go right
ahead.
Michelle's coming up.
Oh, go ahead.
Again, I just want to thank God again for being here. And all his glory and his honor and praise is due to him.
Yes.
You know, I was going through a situation I'm not going to say. And it's a very blessing situation. But Governor DeWine and his staff started helping me. And it was such a blessing to meet them in the situation that I was in. But today, just a long story short, she's been in contact with us back and forth, back and forth. Long story short, yesterday she sent me, she calls me on her private line and she says, hey, she says, good luck, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, oh, thank you. So today I called her right before I was coming to church. And I was like, it's after business hours. I know I'm not going to get a response. I'm just going to tell her how I feel and thank her. And I pull up in the parking lot. She calls me. She said, hey, Michelle. She's like, I was in church, but I just had to take your call because I want to know. And I was like, and it just threw me off because, you know, not no little I's or big U's or nothing like that, but God so put that on her heart.
Right.
And in her testimony to me before I walked in the building is, I just thank God so much for meeting you. She said, I'm great. Go back into church. I said, well, I'm at church. I'm great. Get out the car. I said, but thank you so much. And she said, it was such a blessing. She said, I know God ordained us to be together. She said, because the day I met you, you weren't even in my district. She said, you were, I don't represent him in that district that you were in. And I was like, well, thank you so much. She said, but I'm the one that had to take care of it. And I'm so thankful. And I'm just so thankful for God. These little things, you know, they're natural, but they so type to spiritual that he has always, he's got it. Just rest. He's the God that created the universe. What is it that he can't do? What is it in our mind that he cannot do? If he created the world, what is the limitations? Money, man, what is the limitations you putting on the God that created everything?
Right.
You know, and I just keep thinking about that. God can do everything. He's a way maker, you know, and I was just thinking, you know, Lord, it's the trust in you. I say it all the time, but do I believe it? Do I believe that all things work for my good? Do I truly believe that you have my footsteps are ordered? Do I truly, truly believe it? Not just say it, not just... you know, a song, you know, he's a way maker, but truly, truly believe that there's nothing impossible for God.
Amen.
You know, and these things are just coming to me as I'm walking this journey is, it's faith in him. He knows all things. He know the end from the beginning. Why can't I trust you? What is it that so has me wrapped up to believe you can't do whatever you want to do? Or whatever I asked you to do.
Amen.
And I'm just so thankful. And I was, so when we was get, I was great to get out, I said, well, you have a good service. She said, no, let's stop and pray. And then here she is in church, and she's just started praying. And then she said, I'm going to go in, and I'm going to give a testimony. You go in, and you give a testimony. And I'm just so thankful because it's not about the natural stuff. It's so much greater than these little things, you know, and what they were doing for me is so wonderful. And yes, they'll be blessed. And yes, the people will be blessed. But the greater thing is the lessons learned along the way. And I just want to thank God, because those are solid. Those are gold. You know, when you learn something for yourself, can't nobody take it away. No one will ever be able to tell me God can't do anything. No one will ever be able to tell me that God is not a way maker when there is no way. You know, I'm like, he created the way. He created all of it. What is it in my brain, in my spirit that says he can't do it? What is that? It's nothing but a creed and a dogma. That's all it is. Move all that unbelief that God is God, and if he's God, serve him.
I just want to give God some praise. after church Sunday, Brother Moore said something to me, and I was troubled. I was troubled for a few days, and so finally I just couldn't stand it no more. I had to text Brother Moore today, and I just had to apologize. And, you know, I could have done this sooner, but Brother Moore said, you just let the devil. you know, lie to me, pretty much. And so, yeah, I probably could have flicked him off my shoulder sooner, but, you know, but... I just know where the word comes from. I know life is here. I know that I told Brother Moore there's no other place for me to go to. This is home for me. I mean it'd be like I'd lose my mind if I didn't come here, you know, and hear the word, because I know where God is. And this place is just so important to me. I realize that my eyes are open. I am just so thankful that I understand the word for my day, and I've accepted it. There's no doubt about that. I've driven my stake. You know, every now and then the devil will want to try and lie to me, but he's a loser. It's a lost cause. You know, there's nothing that he can do to convince me to move. And so I just want to thank God for the victory, but, you know, I just want to give God some thanks and just share that with you. I, too, have overcome this week, and I'll continue overcoming until we go home. Amen.
Man, I don't know what he means to you, but to me, he's my everything.
That's right.
You know, this is not hard. It's not hard to love God. Just sitting there thinking about that, I'm over here sloppy drunk off the testimonies already. I love this place. I love what it does for me, how it's changed my life. You know what it's really made me do that I've never been able to do? Keep still and just like really just shut up and observe stuff. Everything around me, wherever I go, I change the atmosphere. It's not me, it's what's on the inside of the inside. Right. And you know, the brother brought it up when he was talking about Abraham being right there with Melchizedek. You know, he was so in tune with Melchizedek, conversating with the Son of Man, word made flesh right there, that Satan wasn't in the picture. I'm standing here with the Son of Man, and Satan's not in the picture because I'm so busy with the Son of Man. And I love this word. This word is everything to me. This word's helped me overcome. It's helped me stand up tall and be proud of what I've got. You know, I'm proud of what I got. God's done it all. And he's helped me to be a man about this thing and have a backbone. You know, I come here, I get corrected, and I'm thankful for that. You know, I'm so grateful right now. I don't even know how to put it, you know? Brother Moore, he didn't think anybody heard him. He said it under his voice. Like, he said, you know, you might want to keep some praise on you. I'm packing praise everywhere I go. I can't help it. I'd be in customers' houses humming, you know, just singing a tune, whatever. You know, I just want to thank God, though, because, you know, I had a big debut with a big company. They subcontracted some stuff to me, and they got reviews back from the customer, and they just said, just his presence was a delight. That's how I feel about God. I feel like that. It's a delight to my soul. It's so healthy. It's healthy to my physical well-being too. So I just want to, you know, sing some song or something, you know, because, you know, I need food and drink, you know. I want to get sloppy up in here. I'm here to get rowdy. I don't know about y'all, but I ain't got no starch on me, you know. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. Oh, you brought me. You brought me a mighty long way. A mighty long way. I thank you, Jesus.
Thank you. We worship you. We praise you. Oh, you brought us a mighty long way. It brings me joy to be able to sing that song and rub it in the devil's face, Lord. If you could, the song says you could see where you brought me from to where I am today. And Lord, you've watched over us. You've kept us. You've supplied all of our needs, and we thank you for it. Thank you for your love, mercy, and grace. Thank you for another opportunity to have church and the fellowship and hear from your people. And as we approach this part of the service, have your way. Talk to us, Lord. Be with your bride around the world. Thank you for healing our bodies. Thank you for bringing Sister Donna tonight, Lord. Continue to touch her body. Brother Trevor, Lord, touch him. Our friend Aaron, Lord, we ask that you move on his behalf. Lord, there's many prayer requests we've been bringing before you, and you know all about them. You've already paid the price. Move and touch. Once again, have your way with the rest of the service. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and ask. Amen. You may be seated. It's good to be home. Way of announcements. Don't forget, you know, we're back to Sunday night Bible study at 7 o'clock.
And we have fellowship this Friday at Brother Caleb and Sister Andrew's house starting at 6:30. Just a friendly reminder to everybody, you know, as we go to somebody else's house that's not yours, let's remember to be respectful and considerate of that property. You know, it's always nice for somebody to open their home to us, and we want to be respectful of it. And really, Friday, what we should remember, this is really meant to be an outdoor fellowship more than an indoor fellowship. And so, you know, let's be respectful of the home and really only go in if we have to use the restroom. Let's not plan to sit in there and play. Or, you know, even our kids in there playing, there's plenty to do outside. We're going to have bounce houses and games and a fire. So let's remember that. You know, when you open your house, whether it be for the church or anybody, you get more than 10 people, things happen. It just is the natural wear and tear on a house. So it's always good to be considerate of one another and be respectful. Clean up after yourself, you know. Watch after your kids. Clean up after your kids. You know, so these are just basics that we've been taught here over the years. So just want to put that out there so that we don't tear Caleb and Andrew's house up. Let's stay outside. And let's only go in and use the restroom when we need to. They're kind. I know they wouldn't get up and say this, but I want to say it on their behalf because we want to take care of their property. And thankful to do it. And, you know, I don't, you guys, if you don't know my personality now, I don't talk to you in these kind of ways unless Brother Moore would want let me. Because it's his church. But I told him I was going to do it, and he said, well, if you don't, I will. So I said, well, I'm going to do it. So that's why he's the loudest amen, just so you know. And But just things to remember. Because I've had people over my house, and things do happen. And sometimes, you know what, no matter how careful we are, things are going to happen. That's just part of it. And that's where Brother Moore reminds me and reminds us this all belongs to God anyhow. And you can't hold it so tight that something's going to break. But we still, on our half, should do our part and be considerate. So be responsible. Keep those things in mind. It's good to be here. We'll get to the real order of business now. And back to the house of God. I'm glad I'm feeling good. You know, I haven't been feeling great here lately, but God's touched me. So I'm thankful for that. I studied to show myself approved, not feeling well. And I thought, Lord, I'm going to do it because I'll preach. See, I'm like you, Brother Dennis. I don't like to give the devil too much credit. I don't even like to act sick, hardly. No. That gives me, I feel like that gives me credit. I don't even need you to know I'm sick. I want you to think I'm fine and healthy. Because I'd rather get up here sick as a dog and preach if I needed to. Amen. Now, I understand we got help. We got Brother Moore. We got James. And even Brother Covey showing up sometimes. There's people who can do the job, but I want to be ready. But I'm glad I'm not preaching sick tonight. I'm feeling good. I'm glad God's touched my body. So it's good to be here. And enjoy our church services, enjoy our Bible studies. I thank God for keeping us right down the middle of the road. You know, I think, I'll probably be saying it after every Bible study, to be honest with you. But, you know, I've been going to church here a long time myself. And, you know, I was thinking, you know, after Sunday evening, you know, a pastor's job is to keep us balanced. It's one of his jobs, I should say. He's ordained to see us through. And, you know, as I went to church here many years, you know, what a pastor will do sometimes is because you're in a ditch on one side of the road, God will get him up here and he'll preach so strong, and he's preaching on the one side of the coin because he's trying to pull you out of the ditch. Now, it doesn't mean he's forgot the other side of the coin. God's just trying to get you out of that ditch because you're so far over here, you don't even need the other side of the coin right now because you got that almost too, you're off balance with it. But God, every once in a while, because you finally got in the middle of the road and now you start sliding the other way, he'll come back and bring you back. Amen. And so that's the thing you got to remember sometimes. You know, we've never stopped believing anything we've ever preached. We believe it all. You know, I was thinking, just thinking, you know, I thought, I remember when we were so legalistic, you know, maybe for lack of a better word, or we carried so much law and judged each other. God will come in here and make statements, you can't live good enough to make it and bad enough to miss it. Amen. And you know, that statement's still true tonight. Because if you're a predestinated, foreknown child of God that's going to go all the way, your good and your bad is not going to keep you out. That's truth. Amen. That's 100% truth. Amen. No man can pluck you out of his hands. Amen. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Amen. Brother Bram said, when God changes that nature, he puts all that deeds under that old nature in the sea of forgetfulness. Amen. So that's word. Yes. But that doesn't mean just because Brother Church said that or any of us said that, there's nothing else that a coin says, but when you do get a new nature, you're going to love God. Amen. You're going to serve God. You're going to want to do things for God. Not going to just go out and just, oh, I can do anything I want. That's what I mean. I thank God for a balance.
Amen. Yeah.
And you got to understand sometimes God comes in here and he might be preaching one side of that coin or that one side of that baloney because we're off balance.
Right.
But that doesn't altogether mean he's forgot the other side.
Amen.
That'll come in due time. If it's needed. And God knows what he's doing. And I appreciate that. Because and here's some late sermons we've been getting that. Bible study we've been getting that. We haven't talked about permissive and perfect will of God for a long time. Those terms. We probably talked about it in a roundabout way. But that was nice to talk about. You know, so anyways, I'm thanking God and I'm enjoying it. And I enjoyed the service on Sunday talking about the three angels.
Right? Yeah.
Wasn't feeling good, but I took some notes. And, you know, it's interesting. There's been plenty of times I've studied, and God's not ever used that sermon or that note, you know. And then there's times you study, and God uses it. But I had studied a message for a while ago when Brother Moore and James were gone and thought I was going to use it twice, hadn't used it, and God went another direction. And here comes Brother Moore preaching Sunday, and that study and tied a little bit into what he preached in its own way. So I thought, there it is, Lord. And if he never used it, that would have been fine. But I'm a little excited because the title might seem weird to you when I give it to you. And how does it tie? But it does. Don't worry about that. But so if you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to Acts, the second chapter. Give me a moment. I got to get there myself. And I'm going to jump down to verse 12. This is the upper room, and those the people filled the spirit. They started acting a little crazy, so to speak. People thought they were drunk. And verse 12 says, "And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams." The title of my message tonight is Modern Events Made Clear by Prophecy.
Amen.
Because that's why the problem with those people that didn't recognize what was going on is they didn't recognize God. They didn't actually recognize, Brother Destins, that what was going on was actually what was prophesied by the prophet Joel that was to happen.
Amen.
And that's the problem, you know, with the two groups that Brother Moore was talking about. You know, what's becoming more and more brighter to me is that white and black. We think of it as church and the world, but it's church and church. It's the true church and the false church. And the false church, their issue is they don't recognize God like the true church.
Amen.
Thank God you have an ear to hear.
Amen.
Thank God you have something on the inside of you that can pick up God.
Amen.
Thank God that he foresaw you and saw that you were going to aim in his word and want his word. And he gave you a little piece of himself that connects with that word.
Amen.
Not everybody has that ability. And I'm talking about good church-going people.
Amen.
And you know, I think that sometimes when you come from denominations and you went to church there for a while, so you got to understand, we're not saying the people in denominations are bad. Because, you know, when you come from denominations, you could easily sit there and say, I went to church with them. We went to church on Sunday, went to church on Wednesday, had Bible study on Friday. We sung songs together. We did youth choir together. Good church going people. Matter of fact, in that group of people, those that don't come out of her can be the foolish virgin and the sleeping virgin class of people.
Right.
So there's going to be some people in those denominations that will end up in heaven.
That's right.
But it's not that they're bad people. It's just that they do not pick up God when they're standing right in front of Him. Amen. They don't understand their day and its message. Amen. They're trying to do a God a service without it being His will. Amen. But for some reason, just common old people that you would think wouldn't be able to do it pick up God. Amen. And it's always been that way, Brother Moore. Amen. The religious people have always struggled really to pick up God when they're standing right before Him. Yes, right. It was the religious people in Jesus' day that crucified Him. Right. It was the Sadducees and the Pharisees that said, give us Barabbas and crucify Jesus. Amen. It was the same people who said, we're of the bloodline of Abraham. Yeah, right. We know our Bible. Right. We keep the Sabbath. Right. We read the scrolls. You can go back in our bloodline and hardly find any imperfection. Amen. That same group of church people missed the very Son of God standing before them. The scripture prophesied, and we're going to say on the topic, a virgin shall conceive. Yeah. It was prophesied before it ever happened. Right. Yet the religious people that day couldn't even recognize that and pick up and said, that's a bastard child. He wants to act like he had no dad, but we know he has some dad. And the scripture that they claimed to read had a prophecy in it that a virgin shall conceive, and yet they still couldn't see it.
That's right.
Oh, but the little woman at the well.
Yeah.
She picked it up. And she picked it up the way you're supposed to.
Yes,
sir,
yes.
I perceive you're a prophet. Because the scripture tells me, it prophesied to me, that when the Messiah comes, he would be able to do these type of things.
Yes.
And you're doing those kind of things. She recognized God.
Amen.
She got changed. Yes. She went in the city and said, come see a man that told me all things.
Amen.
But the religious people reading the same scrolls, reading the same prophecies, couldn't pick it up.
Right.
But God's people pick it up. That's why Abraham, he didn't miss God.
No.
Three angels come down.
Right.
He knew right away, my Lord.
Yes.
He knew right who he was.
Yes.
He knew he was one God.
Yes.
He knew exactly how he should show up.
Yes.
He wasn't like the others seeing multiples. He's like, my Lord.
Yes.
And I'm glad tonight I can say my Lord.
Yes.
I am glad I can recognize God.
Yes.
I can recognize what he's doing.
Yes.
I know what he's supposed to be doing in this day and hour.
Yes.
I know what's going on.
Yes.
And this book is a book of prophecy.
Yes.
That's what makes it different than any of the other books.
Yes.
You can get the Quran. You can get whatever the Hindu uses.
Yes.
Brother Branham even told us, he said most of those things in there is just a code of ethics.
Yes.
But this book will let you challenge it.
Yes.
It'll write things in it before it happens.
Yes.
It'll say a virgin will conceive 600 years before it happens.
Yes.
It'll tell you that my sons and daughters will have visions and prophesy many years before it happens. It'll write the book of Revelations before the whole church is formed. It's a book of prophecy. But what's so great about it is every single thing that's been prophesied has happened right on time to a T. Oh, that gets me excited. You know why that gets me excited? It's because people think we're crazy. But I'm not crazy. We're really the only ones insane. So many people read that Bible, trying to figure it out, don't even have nothing to do with a prophet, and I realize I can't even get it without a prophet.
Amen, Lord.
But greater than that, oh, I don't want to get ahead of myself. I realize I'm doing some prophecy right now.
Yes,
but we'll get there. But this is a book of prophecy, and it ain't been off one time.
Amen.
And if you understand it, and let me throw this in here, just to clear it, make sure you don't go home with the wrong impression. I don't expect you to read this Bible and read every prophecy on your own and know what's going on. You need a revelation. It's still got to come by preaching. How will you even understand what the prophecy is even supposed to mean without somebody telling you? But the difference is, what I'm trying to point to you is you have an ear.
Yeah.
You have the ability to hear that preaching and read that Bible and actually see what it means
right.
And say, wait a minute, those are prophecies about me.
Yeah.
Wait a minute, those are prophecies supposed to happen right now. That's happening exactly like it's supposed to.
Right.
And you know what most of the church world does? And I won't put them all there, but most, they treat it like a Quran.
Oh, yeah.
book of ethics, a book of laws, Christ and his government. Let's build the churches. Let's build hospitals. Let's do this. Let's be nice to everybody. All good things. See, I'll say it again. I'm not saying the people in the denominations are bad people. Good people. Doing a lot of them do a lot of good things for a lot of people. Not putting it down. Point I'm trying to make, they miss God. Amen. By reading this in with an intellectual viewpoint when they need a revelation. They need to be able to hear from God. That's why God said in every church age, let him who hath an ear hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Oh, that's something you can never underemphasize for yourself. The ability to have a spiritual ear. Yeah, it first goes in here, but a lot of people goes in here. But you need to get right down on the inside of the inside where you can hear from God and get the word quickened to you. And you can actually have a new birth. And there on, you can't help but hear from God. That little woman at the well, once she recognized God, you weren't going to convince her otherwise. That guy that got his eyes from blind to he could see, you weren't going to convince him differently. Oh, but he didn't allow to heal your eyes on the Sabbath, blind man. All I know. You can have all those rules you want. But I've been blind a long time. And all I know is I was blind, but now I see. And I don't care if it happened on the Sabbath. All I care about is I can see. Oh, Jeremiah, you can't tell me God's real. You can say what you want. Oh, you can't tell me you know what it's the end time. Oh, that the rapture is going to happen. You can say what you want. All I know. I used to not understand this Bible. But it's been made so clear to me by God. That I can't help see that he's fulfilled everything he said he's going to fulfill. Right down to a T. To where I see the very hour I'm living in. You can't convince me otherwise. I have an ear to hear. That little woman at the well had an ear to hear. You have an ear to hear. Everybody representing that white had an ear to hear. The other contrast in the church, thought they were rich. Thought they were increased with goods. Thought they had needed nothing. And knew it not. Were blind. Wretched. Miserable. And didn't even know it. Eyes were closed to it. Couldn't hear from God. Amen. Couldn't hear what the Spirit was saying to the churches. And here you and I are like the little woman at the well. Right. Don't live as good as they did. Come from a background different than they did. Don't even seem unworthy to get there, Brother Moore. But thank be to God. Yeah. He saw me and took care of it before the foundation of the world. Yes, and confound me. Amen. And I could recognize him. Amen. Oh, that gets me excited. Modern events made clear by prophecy. Yes. You know what? Peter wasn't confused. Because getting drunk like that and acting like that was a little different. Oh, yeah. It was a change. Yes, it was. They typically went to church and was very ordered. Right. Got up, read the scrolls. Right. Thank God for reading the scrolls. Did it on a Saturday. Right. You had a certain order to it. Oh, yeah. All of a sudden, they're in a place, people jumping all over the place, so to speak. Yeah. Start speaking in tongues. Yeah. Start acting drunk. They act in some way, because even Peter knew. He's like, they're acting like it's midnight. Right. It's just 3:00 in the afternoon. Yeah. You know, a lot of people that would have thrown didn't throw Peter, because Peter knew the prophecy. He said, this is what Joel said. This is exactly what's supposed to happen. This day, this scripture's fulfilled before your very eyes. Amen. Don't get worried. This is what we're supposed to do. Oh, it's a change. Amen. See, change is hard on people. What Brother Bram said, anybody can build a straight wall. But to turn that corner takes a real mason. Oh, that's what we got on the scene today. Anybody can go to church every Saturday and read the scrolls. But let somebody show up all of a sudden that don't seem so orderly. And people start speaking in tongues. People start jumping up and down. They start acting different. You better have a real revelation to be able to get with that. And those people in the upper room, they didn't fear. It's been revealed to them. Amen. This is that. Amen. This is what I'm supposed to do. Amen. This is the very hour I'm meant to live. Yes, that's how it works. I love how Brother Branham, he preached this message really two times. One time he called it just events made clear by prophecy. The other time, though, he put that modern events
made clear by prophecy. All through that Bible, things got prophesied and they got fulfilled exactly. And that's good, and that gets me excited. You see how I'm already rejoicing. But I'm going to tell you, I'm going to cover some ones that get me real excited. They're talking about my day, my hour, where I'm supposed to be, what I'm supposed to be doing. And I'm not nervous because it's been revealed to me, the real prophecy, what's supposed to be happening. The book ain't closed to me anymore. It's open to me. It's been prophesied, Brother Moore, that there would be a group that could look inside the book, that they would have to prophesy again, that they would be the ones that were alive and remain, that they would get a change of the body, that when they speak, it's like God speaking, that they would be the Son of Man. Oh, that's all been prophesied in this day, this hour. That's fulfilled before your very eyes. Let me slow down. Brother Bram says, and events made clear by prophecy. The Bible foretells by prophecy what day that we're living and what time we're living and what kind of events ought to be taking place. It foretells it exactly to the letter and has never missed one age all the time. Amen. Not one time has it ever missed, and it won't. Here's the next part. For who are predestinated to see it, will see it. That's us. No man could come to me except the Father draws him, and all the Father has given me will come. It's the Word joining with the Word. You know what that makes you? That little seed you had is the Word. It's connected. That's what we always say. It's just connecting back to where it came from. It can't help itself but identify with the Word. It can't do nothing else. Listen to what he says next. We know it. The day that we're living in. Oh, Brother Bram was speaking boldly. He says, I can look at the prophecy, and I know what it says today, and I'm predestinated to see it. I know the very hour I'm living in. Oh, that's so important. Because if you don't know, you'll be doing the wrong thing. You'll be back in another age, in another day, trying to do something that was already been done for you. Moses wasn't supposed to build Noah's Ark. Noah's Ark wasn't supposed to go down there with a staff in his hand and say, the Lord sent me. You had to know your day. You had to recognize God and do what you were supposed to do for your very hour. And if you can tap into that Bible just right, which is a book of prophecy, it will tell you everything you need to know about your day and about your hour. Now look, in the days of the coming of the Lord, this is the same book. Why didn't those people recognize John when the Bible plainly said by Isaiah, there will be a voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. That was a prophecy. And John the Baptist was the very fulfillment of it. And people missed it. The people who couldn't pick up God missed it anyhow. Their last prophet they had, which is Malachi 3, said, behold, I send my messenger before my face to prepare the way. Why didn't they see it? Because they were looking upon something that had been done. The past. See, that's what about prophecy. Prophecy is for telling future events. Basing their thoughts upon some message that had went forth beforehand and failed to see the present manifestation of God in the day they were living. Amen. And Christians everywhere, that's exactly where the world stands tonight. Without contradiction, that's the truth. Christians everywhere are trying to look back to some code of ethics that Mr. Luther wrote or Mr. Wesley, Sankey, Finney, Knox, Calvin, which none of us can speak evil of, but that was a day in the past. The Pharisees looked back to see what Moses said, and they said, we have Moses. We don't know whence thou comest. The problem is they miss God. So I'm going to paraphrase some now, because I don't want to just do a bunch of quote reading. Brother Bram in that same message said, the Bible is a book of prophecy. That's where he said it. He said, you can look at the Quran, you look at these other books. They're mainly a code of ethics. But not this Bible. It's got real foretelling by God. And it will tell you the very hour that you're living in. St. Luke 17 that Brother Moore read Sunday. You know what it says? As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. Prophecies. As it was in the Sodom and Gomorrah, so shall it be when the Son of Man is being revealed. Prophecy. The Bible is full of them, and people miss them. And the reason why they miss them, they've never had a prophet to come tell them what they mean. And then from there, they never had a preacher tell them what that means. They don't know how to get revelation from God. But I'm here to tell you what we preach is truth. And it's in the Bible, and it was prophesied. And what's so great about it, it has happened to the T. Those three angels that were back there in Sodom and Gomorrah, they showed up here in this day. Exactly to a T. In this day, they were just called Oral Roberts, Billy Graham, and William Branham. Two went to the church world. One stayed with Abraham. One stayed with the bride. Oh, it happened exactly like it was prophesied, but people miss it. But here we are, little bride. We can't help but see it. Billy Graham and Oral Roberts had a huge influence on the church world. The biggest you could have. They filled the Colosseums. People still honor them today. They try to mimic them today. They ain't really them. No. Just copycatting them. Because that's how great they were. Angels sent by God. Trying to act like an angel. You know, that's a problem, brother. More people do a lot of. They try to act like an angel. When they need to just be who they are. But God sends angels. Just let them be who they are. We're all sent.
That's right.
But don't try to be some major angel. That's who God sent.
Amen.
But God sent Oral Roberts and Billy Graham.
That's right.
And they did their job. It's his angels to the church world. But I'm glad I got one sent to me too. William Branham. But I even understand really, when you really see it, he was just the first fruits of the mighty angel. Because the real mighty angel was the Lord himself. The Lord himself come down. The Lord himself, Melchizedek, come down. We just don't call him Melchizedek anymore because Brother Branham said he became Jesus Christ. But it was the same God without father, without mother. And you got to understand it. On one side of Jesus had a mother and a father, or mother. But Jesus also, on one side, didn't have a father. Didn't have a mother because he was the same God that is God. He's one with God. No beginning, no ending. But the Lord himself come down. It says, I got an open book. I'm going to show you some things. And just like he couldn't hide anything from Abraham, he couldn't hide anything from his bride. He said, I'm going to give it to some people. And the first person he gave it to was William Branham. Because Revelation 10:7 had to be fulfilled. And I want to get this. I'm going to bring in, you got to have a prophet. I'm going to read Amos 3:7 here a little bit. Because it's part of the message. But you can't even get this without a prophet. Not this open book, because that's God's order. That's the order he used. And he used William Branham. But I thank God he didn't stop there. 8-11 happened. He said, John, you take the little book. And that's you and me. And we take the little book. And we're like Abraham up on the mountaintop, fellowshipping with God. This day, that prophecy is being fulfilled before your very eyes. We're up there. We're a little bit like Abraham. Lord, if there be one more, let's save him. If there be five more, let's save him. Before we really get out of here, let's get as many as we can get. That's our desire. It's just the same thing. That's why Jesus said, as it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. And there's so many things about Sodom and Gomorrah. It's not just these three angels. The conditions. That's the way the world is right now. We know all that. But everything's lined up. That prophecy was accurate.
Amen.
And it was a prophecy that explains modern events. I understand why the world's in this condition. It was prophesied to be so. God foreknew it and saw it and said, you know what, when that Son of Man is revealed the second time, it's going to be like it was in Sodom and Gomorrah. Do an evaluation. It is. It's going to be like it was in Noah, when marriage, giving to marriage, eating, drinking. We know we're there. Marriage is out of the wazoo. Eating, drinking, go out in the world and do a survey. That prophecy's coming exactly to the T, true. And you can see it, and you can explain modern events by it. And you can look right here and say, this is the hour I live in. This is what I'm supposed to be fulfilling. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. And those three angels, Brother Moore talked about Sunday, that was prophesied to happen again. And it happened. And they're all three, really, in that sense, in the flesh side, off the scene. But the Lord himself sent his bride. And we're right here with Abraham. You know what's so great about him? Before Abraham could receive his promised son, he had to have a change in his body.
That's right.
And you know what's coming? Before I meet the Lord in the air, I'm going to have a change in his body. Same thing's going to happen. I'm telling you, I've said it before. I love this Bible. I can start in Genesis. I can end in Revelations. I ain't ever read one part of it that doesn't connect to the other part. It runs perfectly. I've never found fault in it. Now, we might have our own interpretation of it and try to make it mean something, but this thing's happened to a T and has never failed in one place. And you talk about it being a book of prophecy. It's been prophecy since Genesis. Genesis 3 said the woman's seed. That was way before Jesus ever got here. There's been prophecies all the way along. That's what this book is, a book of prophecies. And every prophecy that's ever been said has happened just on time. And the ones that's left to be fulfilled will be fulfilled just on time. It's not time to do Revelation 11 yet. Because the prophecy tells me we have to be out of here first. And that ain't happened. So don't jump ahead. You're going in the future, Vince. We're talking about modern, Vince. What's going on right now? You got to keep your Bible straight. And the prophecy will help you do it. We just need somebody. Come show us a little bit. Tell us. We need a preacher. We need somebody to bring it word upon word. We need a son of man. Rebuilding the son of man. Find you a man, bring a word upon word. Because that's how you get born again. Born again by the uncorrupt will see the word of God. So before I move on, let's go over to Amos. It's in the Old Testament. And I could find it, but you know what? I got to look at my index, find a page number, so I can get there quicker. Right after Daniel, I believe, or Hosea. There's small books here. And then there's Joel, but Amos chapter 3. Verse 7. Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. Now, when I say this is a book of prophecy, this book of prophecy is bigger than any one prophet. But I just thought about talking about prophecy, it'd be fitting to tie in why you need a prophet. That's God's order. That's the way he does things. That's what I told you. And God says, I'm the Lord thy God, and I change not. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God uses prophets in a special way. Brother Branham even talked about how he had to lost things down through the ages. He said, no, all you have is reformers. Those reformers never fully got it all the way back. God had to send a prophet to get these things straightened up. He sent a prophet at the beginning. He's got a prophet at the end. Major prophets to balance it out. And God's always used major prophets when he was going to change a dispensation, make some new announcement, do something a different way. He's always used prophets. You can't get away from it. Oh, prophets were until John. Yeah, and I know major prophets even bigger than the Ephesians, the gifts, but I can go to Ephesians 4. He gave some prophets. I can go to Revelation 10. He talks about a prophet. Amen. There's prophets in the New Testament. Because God never changed his way. Amen. He always uses a prophet. Amen. And so let's read about that for a minute. I'm going to read Malachi 4. Work our way through this. I want to read this because Brother Branham used this scripture to also separate John the Baptist from Malachi 4. Because a lot of people get them thinking they're the same people. But they're not. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day cometh, shall burn them up, and the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise, with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. And ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet. And the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Oreb for all Israel with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. See, that last verse has got both John the Baptist and Malachi for him. When it came to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, that was John the Baptist. Amen. But when it talked about turning the children's hearts back to the fathers, that was Malachi 4. Yeah. And many people think it's the same person, John the Baptist doing both. Yeah. But Brother Bram said, you got to get your prophecy right. Because it talked about a great and dreadful day. Amen. And when Jesus came the first time, it didn't burn up. It wasn't dreadful. So there had to be a second thing getting fulfilled in here. Amen. That's why prophecies really do explain modern events. Amen. It'll help you keep your time straight. Because if you have John the Baptist doing both of those, the earth should have been burned up by now.
Right.
But it wouldn't burn up when John the Baptist was here.
Amen.
That was a good day. That was the preached acceptable day of the Lord.
Right.
This is a judgment hour now.
Yeah.
This is get with it or turn or burn.
Right.
And what's going to happen? This earth is going to be burned off.
Yeah.
And that was a different Elijah that was sent to turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers.
Yeah.
And that was fulfilled by William, Mary, and Branham.
Yeah.
He restored everything that Paul brought. Brought us back to the word perfectly as given by Paul. God used him and told him what to do. He was a prophet, a major prophet.
Amen.
And he fulfilled Malachi 4. And you can't get John the Baptist making it be the other one. You get your days backwards.
Amen.
What's so great about God's prophecy, it don't mess up.
No.
He sent John, so I'll prepare the way to the Lord. Turn the father's hearts back to the children.
Right.
Then I'm going to send you Elijah again. Because Elijah's promised five times. He's Elijah, Elisha, John the Baptist, Malachi 4, Brother Branham. That's 4. He'll be with Moses when he comes to Revelation 11.
Right.
I have quick scripture for that, but I ain't going to take the time tonight. But you got to get those. But if you follow your prophecies, you'll know when the hour's happening when each one comes.
Amen.
It told you when John the Baptist was coming.
Right.
It tells you when Malachi 4 is coming. Prophecy will help explain modern events.
Right. Amen.
That's how this thing works.
Amen.
But you got to have a prophet to be able to even get this word. God used a prophet to even get this word straight for you. That's what. That's one of the key things that makes us different than the church world. They don't think they have a need of a prophet. But God does nothing until he first reveals it to his servants, the prophets. We're not a cult. I don't even try to introduce you to Brother Branham more than I introduce you to Jesus Christ. Brother Branham didn't pay for my sins. He didn't die for me. Brother Branham himself wasn't even worthy to open the book. There was only one worthy to open the book. That was the Lord Jesus Christ himself. That's who I worship. That's who I praise. That's who I introduce you to. That's who I'm really preaching about. But that same Jesus sends his prophet first. In order to get introduced to Jesus, you need to get his prophet.
Amen.
And that's just God's order. That's what he said.
Yes,
and that's why you need a prophet. This book of prophecy shows you in it that God's going to use prophets.
Amen.
To prophesy.
That's right.
To introduce you to things. And that's exactly what why we believe we got to have a prophet.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? Not just because I read the Bible. Brother Branham would straighten this thing out for us. We wouldn't have baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, right? And one God, right? And it's communion, right? And new birth without sensation, right? So many things we wouldn't have, right? Thank God he used a prophet to get this thing back in order. Thank God he sent Paul.
That's right.
Paul started getting people right.
Right.
Oh, foolish Galatians. Who has bewitched you?
Right.
Stop trying to earn your salvation.
Right.
Jesus Christ came.
Right.
Do this, do that. Paul set the church in order.
Amen.
Thank God he sent prophets.
Right.
And that same thing Paul said at the beginning still applies today and still works.
Amen.
And God sent another prophet to come back and restore what Paul brought.
Amen.
And that same prophet is the one he used in Revelation 10 to help you explain the open book.
Amen.
This is what you got to have. Now that's where I want to go next, Revelation 10.
Amen.
Can't preach a message like this without going there.
Yes, sir.
You got to get to our day.
Amen.
You got to get to going on, what's going on right now.
Amen.
See, you. For me, I've been going to church here since I've been 8 years old. And sometimes I guess I preach the things because I just know what I've lived and what I've went through. Because I remember when I was 12, 13, 14, 15, 16 in school, all my classmates went to church just like I did. I went to Young Life with them. I did all these groups. I did my thing with them. And they're going to church and doing the same old 6 and 7. Here I am. I'm saying, man, they think I'm crazy if they knew I believe in a prophet. Those are just thoughts that go through your head at that age. Because you're around your core group. You got the peer pressures. And how do I even tell them this? Because at that time, I thought I had almost thought I had to preach to everybody. Learned later I didn't have to. But this means so much to me, though, because what I believe is in that Bible. What I believe has been prophesied and happened to a T. And it's not just written word to me. It's been revealed, and I have a revelation of it. It's real to me. And I can't help but see it. I can't help but recognize it. And I even know why they couldn't see what I saw. I know how to deal with them right, Brother Moore. Our kids know how to deal with them better than I know how to deal with them. But I'm here to tell you, it's still true today at 42 when it was true when I was 16. And I might have had all kind of pressure on me. That was real to me back then. But I'm still glad I saw this thing. I'm glad I had an ear to hear. I'm glad I believe in a prophet. I believe God uses prophets. Amen. You, I try to turn that into a cult. It ain't a cult to me. This is the living, manifested word of God for the hour. Coming to pass. It was prophesied before it even happened. That's what's so great about this book. Amen. You can treat everybody right that you want to treat. You can live by your code of ethics. You can be kind to everybody. But I'm serving a living God that hasn't failed one time. Amen. In one of his prophecies. Amen. I see that stronger tonight than I saw it when I was 16. Because I've been eating for a long time. Oh, yeah. I've gotten stronger for a long time. You couldn't convince me I don't need a prophet. But I'm going to read two now. He's dead, but God didn't die. No. I know that too. But I'm going to tell you, I believe this thing. I'm one of those ones that have an ear to hear. And I can see by prophecies, things just happen left and right. You know, when Jesus was dying, he's fulfilling prophecies just like that. Not a bone could be hurt. And not a bone broken, and not one was. Think about it. Couldn't see. When he died, he couldn't stay down there more than 3 days. Wouldn't see corruption. Prophesied. Already been prophesied. Paul in Psalms, why hast thou forsaken me? You know what Jesus said when he's hanging there? Father, why hast thou forsaken me? Already been prophesied. I have a quote, man, I'll read it later, where Brother Raymond went through a lot of this. Prophecies happen just left, back, right. You know what we're really doing today? We're fulfilling prophecy every day. Revelation is the 10th chapter. I saw another mighty angel. That's the Lord himself, by the way. We're not just talking about an earthly messenger now. We're talking about the heavenly angel, the mighty angel, the Lord himself. Come down from heaven, Melchizedek. Clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as the warmth of the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had his hand a little book open. Set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot upon the earth. That book was open now. He was going to... This, you know what? This was written back in 90 AD, was it? Sometime when John was on the Isle of Patmos. Way before it got fulfilled. Cried with a loud voice, and when the lion roared, and when he cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven. And swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things that which are therein, and there should be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants, the prophets. So, stop there for a minute. Here comes God, the mighty angel. In this day and hour, that's one of the three angels right there. Come down with the open book that had been sealed up. Amen. And said, I'm going to give it to my servant the prophet. Yes. And he did. And that servant the prophet starts expressing what he saw to where we could see it. Amen. And that's what happens next. Amen. The voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. God don't force this on you. He don't force himself on you. You want God. You know, God is so funny. He'll come find you. Just like he went and found the woman at the well. And then he just starts talking to you. And you're the one that says, that sounds right. That's who, that connects me. That's what I want. I can amen that. He don't force himself on you. He just starts talking to you. He starts being a little salty. Starts giving you a little word. And something about you, you can't help you have that ear. Says, that sounds like God. Wait a minute. The scripture said when you come, you do these things. Wait a minute. The scripture said that you would reveal this thing to a prophet in Revelation 10. And that was written before it ever happened. And you sent a prophet. That makes sense to me. That's what was supposed to happen. Prophet started giving me a little book. I said, that made sense to me. It was prophesied, Brother Deskins. That's what's in the Bible. I said, I can see it. Of course, this is the way it's supposed to be. And John took a little book. That represents me. That's what I'm going to do. I'm supposed to do this. Modern events being made clear and prophecy being fulfilled right before your very eyes. John just represented the bride. I'm come to prophesy. Give me the little book. I went to the mighty angel and said, I want that book. It tastes good to me. I want that. And it was prophesied way before it ever happened. But coming to pass exactly like you said.
Amen.
Give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet, honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up. And it was in my mouth as sweet as honey, and as soon as I'd eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations. And tongues and kings. That's us.
Amen.
But I'm going to tell you something that gets me excited. Over in Luke 17:30, talked about the Son of Man being revealed again. Mm-hmm. That was a prophecy for this day.
Amen.
You know what the Son of Man is? You know what I learned the Son of Man? The Son of Man is a prophet.
Amen.
And then over here in Revelation 10, it says we're supposed to prophesy again. They must be connected. Both prophecies happen way before now. Yet both really, in one sense, telling you the same thing. Son of Man's coming back, and he's going to be revealed. And the Son of Man's a prophet. And when you're here, little bride, you're going to prophesy again.
Yes.
You know what the bride is? She is the Son of Man on the face of the earth again.
Yes.
It's the Word made flesh.
Yes.
The Word, Son of Man in the bride, in your flesh, manifesting to the world. And when the bride speaks, what she's really doing is prophesying. She's fulfilling the very prophecy it said she would do.
Amen.
Jesus said, if you don't believe me for just believing me, believe me for my very work's sake. And the bride can say the same thing. I'm doing exactly what's prophesied of me to do. Oh, that gets me excited. I can see Luke 17:30 a prophecy. I can see Revelation 10 as a prophecy. And I can look at the day and look all around me, see the condition of the world being exactly the same. Tell me there's going to be a prophet on the scene. And I can see it being fulfilled in this very modern day.
Amen.
Modern events made clear by prophecy.
Amen.
That's why I believe what I believe.
Amen.
It's too real to me.
Amen.
It's happened to a T.
Amen.
It ain't failed one time. And I am now the very fulfilling of the prophecy. I'm manifest in Luke 17:30.
Right.
We are St. John 14:12.
Right.
We are Thessalonians 4, the voice to shout, the voice to the trump.
Amen.
We are Revelation 10:8-11.
Amen.
We are Revelation 19, the bride has made herself ready.
Amen.
We are come out of her, my people, and be not partakers of her sins. Oh, we are the ones that had their hearts turned back. I could go on and on and on. But all those things were prophecy that have now showed up in modern day times. And it all ties together and runs and makes sense. It runs with the Bible. It runs with the prophecy. And it's happened just exactly to the T. God's always been that way. He went down and delivered Israel out to the T the day he said he'd do it. It flooded just like he told Noah it happened. Every prophecy he's ever prophesied. But God's so great, you know what makes God be able to prophesy? Because he has foreknowledge.
Amen.
He knows what's going to happen before it's going to happen.
That's right.
He'll tell you what's going to happen.
That's right.
And all your choices that he allows you to have, it ain't stopping that.
No.
He's already saw it. It's all going to get there.
Amen.
Don't worry about messing up God's plan.
Amen.
One prophecy of God will never fail. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but not one word will pass away. And I'm not going to off the top of my head and be able to list everything today, but we know them, Revelation 10. The hour's at hand, Revelation 1.
Yeah.
Blessed are they that can read and understand the words of this prophecy.
That's right.
The time's at hand.
Yeah.
Those that keep the things which are in this book. That's this day.
Amen.
A little group that's going to have our hearts turned back, that's this day.
Yeah.
The ones that are going to be the Son of Man again on the earth, that's this day.
Amen.
The ones that can do the greater works, that's this day.
That's right.
There are some that must enter rest. That's this day. On and on and on. Prophecy's been spoke before they happened, happened exactly on time, and explains the very hour you're living in. And we can look around and see conditions that match Noah's day, match Sodom and Gomorrah. But what's so greater is not just to recognize the condition, but recognize yourself right there in the middle of it, fulfilling it. We're like, we're on the hilltop just like Abraham was. Fellowship with God. God hasn't hidden nothing from his friends. You think that's coincidence that that book was hidden? Now it's open? That's just like Abraham one sentence. Abraham, God hid nothing from him. He's opened the book to us and said, let me show you the whole story. Show you from Genesis to Revelation. I'll show you what was, what is, and what is to come. We even know what's coming. He's not hid anything from us. And we're up here like in Goshen with light all around us, and the world's in darkness, and we can't help but see, and they're blind, and we have an ear to hear, and we're reading the Bible, seeing it was a book of prophecy, seeing all these things come to pass. Oh, we're blessed. Oh, you can't make me doubt him. You can't make me doubt him. He's too real to me. I see too much. Too much has happened. Too much has happened exactly the way he said it's going to happen. I'm going to believe him over you. Man's words fell. Not one word of God's ever. Oh, that's what's great about it, Brother Moore. Brother Bram says here, friends, it's the same book you've been clear about. This is the fulfillment of Malachi 4, St. Luke 17, St. John 15, oh, so many, Revelation 10, so many prophecies that can be penned exactly to this day. He went on there, but I'm going to stop there. Here's the other one I want to read. If I can find it. This is the one Modern Vince made clear by prophecy. He's talking about Jesus. Now Zechariah 12. You must have quoted Zechariah 11, 12. For he was sold with 30 pieces of silver. That was a prophecy. Was not the Messiah sold? Supposed to be sold by 30 pieces of silver? In Psalms 41 and 9, he was betrayed by his friends. Zechariah 13, 7, forsaken by his disciples. Psalms 35, 11, accused by false witnesses. Isaiah 35, 7, dumb before his accusers, never opened his mouth. Isaiah 50 and 6, he was scourged. Psalms 22, 22, he cried at the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? All the bones, they stare at me. They pierce my hands and feet. Isaiah 9 and 6, unto us a child is born, a virgin shall conceive, so forth. Also Psalms 22 and 18, they parted his garment among them. Isaiah 7 and 14, a virgin shall conceive. Psalms 22, 7 and 8, mocked by his enemies. On and on and on. All prophecies. Every one come to pass. And if you had just had your eyes open, you would think it'd be so clear. The scrolls you were reading said a virgin shall conceive, and then when a guy comes and tells you that I don't have no father, they doubted him. Told him all these things that happened, couldn't see it. Just wasn't in them to see it. Thank God we can see it. I'll say the quote reading, I'll say the scripture reading. Last place I was going to close, Thessalonians 4. Those that are alive and remain shall not hinder them which are asleep. The Lord himself shall descend with a shout and a voice and a trumpet. Comfort one another with these words. That was a prophecy. I'm here to tell you today the shout's already happened. The voice being manifested right before you. That trump's going to happen just on time. And I'm here to tell you, those that are alive will not prevent them which sleep. This day is being manifested right before you, and it's going to happen to a T. Our body's going to be changed, and we're going to meet the Lord in the air. We'll unite with the living and dead, living and sleeping saints first. Be united, go meet him in the air. That's a prophecy. And I understand my modern events by it. Everything around me tells me that's this hour. It's going to happen. I can count on it. All the other ones happened. You saw what I just read about Jesus, and those are just a few. Now, I told you about Luke 17, 30, and Revelation 10, and St. John 14, 12 about us. And you can read so many more. Those prophecies have come true to a T. Amen. Thessalonians 4 ain't going to fail either. Oh. It's really already in process. Amen. But I'm like, well, as Paul or David said, I won't be happy. Satisfied till I awake in his likeness. Amen. And it's going to happen. Yes. Modern events made clear by prophecy. I can see the hour I'm living in. Amen. I'm excited. Because... Right. It means the wedding supper's coming, and the millennial reign's coming, a white throne judgment's coming, where people are going to get to go to heaven with me. New heaven, new earth is going to come. Jesus is going to turn the kingdom back to God. It's going to come. And we're going to live forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. No beginning, no end.
That's right.
A million years will just won't even seem like nothing to us. Those are just prophecies. And just like every other one, they'll all come to pass, Brother Moore. But I can't get there until the other ones are fulfilled first. Stay in your day. Stay in your hour. Watch what the prophets tell you should be going on right now, and you'll find yourself right in the midst of that. God bless you. Come on, Pastor.
Glad he's feeling better. You know, it's amazing how it works. A prophet prophesies, period. That's what he does. He prophesies. But you know, prophecy is only prophecy until it comes to pass. You could still call it prophecy, but it's prophecy that's fulfilled. It's not still, I was sitting there thinking, how do I explain this? Now, if I told y'all yesterday that Jeremiah was going to come in here today with a blue shirt, that's prophecy. And if you took what I said and had faith in it and started telling everybody, tomorrow Jeremiah is going to come to church in a blue shirt, well, that makes you prophet too. What proves it is that today he's here with a blue shirt on. Now, it's no longer prophecy. Everybody in the building can say, yeah, Jeremiah's got on a blue shirt. That's easy to see. Well, it's not prophecy anymore. Our day and our message was prophecy until we got here. So it wouldn't do us much good to go around talking about the children are going to have their hearts turned back. Children are going to have their hearts turned back. Children are going to have their hearts turned back. That was fine. It was still prophecy, but it's fulfilled. What thrills me and what got me sort of thinking is Revelations 10:8. Now, and it says you're going to prophesy again. So that means if we're going to prophesy, there's still something that hasn't been fulfilled that we have to prophesy. Because you don't prophesy something that's already fulfilled. That's history. So if he told us in Revelations 10 that we're going to prophesy again, then that means there's something left that's got to be prophesied by us. Thessalonians 4. We got this chart up here, things that are to be. If we took just what was on this drawing, and you say we don't have nothing to prophesy, we are sitting right here. All the rest of this is prophecy. This is what our prophecy is. We don't need to keep going back here. This is history. We need to prophesy, and look what it's got on here. The rapture, first resurrection, marriage supper, still to come. Great tribulation, still to come. The millennium, still to come. The battle of Armageddon, still to come. The white throne judgment, still to come. Second resurrection of the dead, still to come. Gog and Magog, still to come. Satan loose for a season, still to come. New heaven and new earth, still to come. Second death, still to come. All of this is prophecy.
Yes.
That's what we are given to prophesy.
Amen.
Now, when we talk about the ages, we're just telling you what was prophesied. Right. Like John said in Revelations 1, when you can read and understand this, the time is at hand. It's no longer prophecy. The time's here now. So we as the bride have more to prophesy than Malachi 4.
Right.
That's history now. We, the bride, have more to prophesy than the coming of the Son of Man. we are the coming of the Son of Man. He's here now. He's not coming. He's here in the bride. Brother Brown said it was a Son of Man revealing the Son of Man. What is the Son of Man doing? He's prophesying. Things that are to be. Things that are yet to come. Things that are in store for us. Things that are in store for the world. See, the prophecy of the Bible, it wasn't just prophecy for the bride. God prophesied everything, both sides. When he talked about as it was in the days of Lot and as it was in the days of Noah, he was talking about the world and prophesying about them. But then he turned around and said, Abraham's on the hillside. That was prophecy about us and what we were going to have at this day. So we still have a lot of prophecy to fulfill. It's good to know where we come from and talk about who we are and what he's done. But Revelation 10:8 said, you prophesy again. So you need to know these things. We need to know what this is, Jeremiah. To prophesy it again, we need to know what it is. So that's why we can sit and talk about it at our Bible studies. Because in order for you to prophesy, you got to know what to prophesy. Don't keep talking to me about Malachi 4. Don't keep talking about restoration of the word. No. That's done.
Amen.
Now you've taken a book. You've eaten a book. Right. Now you have to prophesy again. But what are you going to prophesy? History?
No.
That's not prophecy.
No.
You're going to prophesy things that are to be.
Amen.
That's why this bride's going to be an invisible army.
That's right.
Satan's not going to be able to pull nothing on us because we know what it is.
Right.
We know what to do with the word.
Right.
And we know how to prophesy. We know what to prophesy.
Amen.
My goodness, Jeremiah, that was excellent.
Amen.
I enjoyed that.
Amen.
Now, you know I'm going to get... Can't get him out of here. Brother Eric, come on up.
Amen.
Say something, sing something, do something.
Amen.
Good to see you all again, Brother Mike. Y'all, Brother Mike does really talk. Honestly, he does.
Amen.
I see you
is
like
it on?
Grabbing that.
Yes. God bless you, Brother Nate.
God bless you, sir. Good to see you again.
You know how you can tell there's a whole lot in a person? When they open up their mouth, a whole lot comes out, you know? And when you got a lot of God in you, which is love, then you open up your mouth and a lot of love will come out, you know. And you know, thinking of Christ and how you were saying earlier that not even a broken bone in Jesus, I can walk across the yard and break my ankle, you know. And yet this man was, he wasn't killed, he was crucified.
Mm-hmm.
Big difference.
Mm-hmm.
He was more than murdered.
Right.
He was, you know, think about this. A human man. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh.
Right.
So he was 100% man. Yeah. He was flesh, blood, and bone.
Mm-hmm.
And if you was there at the crucifixion, you would have known that. And I was thinking not even a fracture.
Mm-mm.
On his body. And if I'm right, I believe Brother Perry Green, he was with Brother Branham after that car wreck, and he was stayed with his body even on the airplane. He didn't want nobody to say nothing. He wanted to be a witness.
Mm-hmm.
And when they done the x-rays of Brother Branham, even though he was in that car crash, there wasn't one broken bone in his body.
Amen.
When they did that. And I mean, if you've seen the pictures and the description of how here's the steering wheel and Brother Branham's leg was outside of the windshield and mangled, but yet not a broken bone.
Amen.
And you know, a Son of Man revealing the Son of Man.
Mm-hmm.
And if you really type Brother Branham's life and ministry and you take Jesus's life and ministry, wow.
Mm-hmm.
They're almost one and the same.
Mm-hmm.
If you take, I don't mean to take time,
that's right,
but God created it. You know, he can create just a few more minutes for me. But if you take Jesus, here he was praying for the sick, And here they come by the thousands.
Right.
And sometimes up to 50,000 he'd pray for. Sometimes 30,000 was saved just in a set of meetings. The dead was raised. The blinded eyes was healed. And all these supernatural things happening. And here come the people. They love that.
Mm-hmm.
And then here's Jesus. And he's going to funerals at Jairus' daughter's funeral. And here's the coming into a celebration, the dead being raised, going to the graveyard. And Lazarus coming forth and feeding 5,000 plus women and children.
That's right.
You know, so quite a few. Then a few started falling off because he started preaching a little deeper truth. Mm-hmm. Then if you read on a little further, it was 4,000 he fed, plus women and children, still a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Then next thing you know, Brother Branham's over here, and he's starting to preach Jezebel religion and some things that the people just didn't like in the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
It got down to 300 came to see him up there in Middletown.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And then here's Jesus before. They just have to push him out on the boat so people could hear him.
Right.
But next thing you know, he starts preaching a little deeper things. Except you drink my blood and eat my flesh.
Right.
Oh, we don't want that. No, the food was good, and thank you, Lord, for healing my daughter, and thank you for all that. But nah, I don't want that.
Mm-hmm.
And then it come down to just a few around Brother Branham.
Right.
No preachers would open up their doors. There was one brother, I can't remember his name, but he did support the meetings there in Franklin, and he was blessed for that. And then here comes Jesus preaching more truth, and there ended up just 120
That's all.
In an upper room.
That's
then
right.
It got down to where he was getting ready to be crucified, and then there was only 12, and he said, even one of you's a devil, you know?
Right.
And so he ended up going to the garden, even though he had his disciples with him. He was in there alone.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't even get up and pray with him in the worst times. But that was ordained of God.
Amen.
He had to do it on his own. And then they took that cat of nine tails.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you studied up what that was, but it wasn't one whip. It was one whip with nine whips.
Right.
And on the ends, there's like fish hooks, like metal. And that's why his flesh, his bones stared at you. It'd wrap 39 stripes. But if you take 39 times nine, you know, and so all that carried his cross all the way up there, and not even a fractured bone. But you know what, everything else, it was just a slaughter. And he did all of that for me.
Amen.
For me.
Amen.
And for you, and for whoever afar off will accept it, you know. And but anyways, just a little something to tell you. The last time we had a meeting here, Brother Ben Nord came, and we had a really good service that
Amen.
Night. Now, I invited a few people, and we ended up with almost over 100 people here in this church, and it was a real blessing. But I'm telling you, Scripture says that if one saint can chase off 1,000, two can chase 10,000, and if one can ask a few people to come, if we all ask just a few people to come. No, the preacher I'm bringing, I'm going to bring him next Wednesday night. Where we'll have a special meeting next Wednesday night. And if you knew who I was bringing, nobody knows him. He's not really a well-known preacher. But boy, I tell you, I'm going to try to get him to tell his testimony. And if you got anybody going through anything, let them come. Ask them to come. Hear this man's testimony. And you'll be sitting there thinking, wow. You know, have you heard the story of, you get 300 people in a circle, and everybody throws their problems in the middle, and you start looking at everybody else's problems, you'll end up picking up your own and walking away, you know? So they can appreciate what God's put them through or allowed to happen.
Amen.
Whenever they hear this man's testimony. So, you know, the capstone is love.
Yes, it is.
And if you think about this, there's a song we're going to sing here. Fill my way every day with love.
Amen.
And if you think of it, Jesus Christ is love. So fill my way every day with Jesus, with love.
Amen.
And I do feel the welcomeness of this church. Yes. And you know what that means? If there's a welcome spirit, Jesus can walk right in here, yes, and feel, amen, totally welcome.
Amen.
But yeah, fill my way every day with that. It's showing a key of F. All right. Everybody sing it with all you got tonight. Just if Jesus was standing right here, which he is, sing it like you're singing unto him.
Oh, let me walk, blessed Lord, in the way thou hast gone, leading straight to that land above. Oh, giving cheer everywhere to the sad and the lone. Fill my way every day with love. Oh, fill my way every day with love. As I walk with the heavenly dove, oh, let me go all the while with a song.
Like he's got somebody coming for us on Wednesday, and we'll be ready for that. It's good to have you all here. Seems like the Sunday nights are working out. I try to gauge the people to see how it's going. I don't want to just get up and just do something and just do it to do it. I want to do it to help. So I appreciate you all coming out on Sunday nights, and keep coming and keep fellowshipping together, because that's what we're doing here. Sitting around, talking about things, bringing up things, and I like the questions that come from the congregation, and my brother's helping out with the quotes and the scriptures, and different ones in the body bringing up scriptures and things. That's good. I like that.
Amen.
So let's keep doing that.
Amen.
And come back on Sunday morning, and let's see what the Lord has in store for us.
Amen.
Amen. Praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him in the morning. Praise Him in the noontime. Praise Him till the sun goes down. I think that's in the kitchen. Praise Him.